So, we are thinking this morning about the birth of John the Baptist as a study in faithfulness. So I was going to carry on talking about those who encountered Jesus, and John the Baptist, of course, did encounter Jesus. He encountered him, I think he's the only, someone who encountered him in the womb. I love that part of the story, and we haven't read that today, we missed that bit out, but the bit where Mary goes to visit her cousin Elizabeth, and the babies recognize who each other are, even though they aren't yet born. But he also meets Jesus, of course, at his baptism, which comes later, Jesus' baptism, that is, because John was someone who baptized a lot of people, and he baptized Jesus himself. And we could speculate, of course, that they were cousins. Perhaps those were not the only two encounters that they had. Perhaps they met at family gatherings. Perhaps when they went up to Jerusalem each year, perhaps they saw one another at that time. We know that Jesus and his family went up to the temple each year with those that they lived with as well, because we have that story of Jesus's childhood. So this sermon is going to take a different structure to those that we've been looking at about the encounters, but I'm still going to start with a question for all of us. And this is an opportunity to put into practice what we were learning about last week about testimony, because you're going to be telling, hopefully, a testimony to one another. So the question is, when was the last time you experienced God's faithfulness? So, speak to someone near you, if you can. It doesn't have to be anything massive. It can be something really small. Make sure you include people around you. So perhaps you can continue those conversations over tea and coffee after the service when we have refreshments. It's good to practice telling other people about the good things that God is doing in our lives. And often I ask you these questions and then I'm a bit naughty and I don't actually share with you what my answer would be if I was sat with you. So I've seen God's faithfulness a lot as we have moved here as a family. In the provision of our children's school places, for example, which I know many of you were praying for. But more recently, God's been faithful in answering prayers around a funeral that took place here about 10 days ago now. There were aspects, it was the first one that I had led and here as a minister, many in Streatham, but the first one here. And they also wanted to hire the hall, so it was quite complex organisationally. And there were two aspects in particular that I was really concerned about in the run-up. The first one was that I had to operate the sound system while I was leading the service. Now, obviously not in two places. Simon and Joel set up something here for me. But that needed to work, and that is not in my skill set at all. And I needed that to go seamlessly, because the last thing you need at a funeral, when you've chosen the music for your loved one and all the rest of it, is for something to go wrong with the sound. So that was important. And the second thing I'd done is I'd booked the reception, them in to have a reception for the funeral, with quite a tight turnaround with the self-help group that comes in a bit later. And sometimes those that hire our hall aren't brilliant at timekeeping as we would like them to be. And so I was a bit concerned about that. And I have to say that God was so faithful to me in both of those aspects. They were ready to leave the hall. Well, ready is probably a little bit strong, but they were leaving the hall in good time for the next group to come in. The sound system worked perfectly. So I'm sure that's largely to do with the diligent setup from Simon and Joel, but I was able to turn the knobs at the right time, and there was not feedback or anything like that, and all the mics worked and everything. So that's my testimony of God's faithfulness. I don't know if this story of Zechariah and Elizabeth and the birth of John the Baptist is familiar to you or not. Often at this time we focus on the birth of Jesus, and it is that story of Annunciation where Angel Gabriel meets Mary that is the one that we often hear at this time of year, and we will be hearing that, do not fear. But today I want to look at the faithfulness in this story, the faithfulness of Zechariah and Elizabeth and of God himself. So firstly, where am I supposed to point it to, Simon? Oh, bro. Okay, thank you. Okay, so firstly, Zechariah and Elizabeth and their faithfulness. So they were faithful in three aspects that I can find in this story. They were firstly faithful in service. We're told that Zechariah was a priest, and that it was during his fulfilling of his duties as a priest that he had this life-altering experience of encountering the angel Gabriel. He was one of about 18,000 priests, and they were rotated to serve in the temple, and each one of them served twice a year for a week at a time. But what he was actually doing in the temple when the angel Gabriel appeared was actually burning incense, actually burning the sacrifice that was part of the worship and the acts of repentance for the people of Israel. And he only will have got to have done that once in his lifetime. So it was a very, very specific moment in his time. But he had been faithful in serving as a priest throughout his life. He was faithful to that calling that God had put on his life. It was a family thing, really. If you were part of that tribe in Israel, that was your purpose within the community. But he still did that diligently and well. It was in his being faithful and obedient to God that the prayer that he had been praying for so long for a child with his wife Elizabeth had come to pass. And also he was praying, of course, as the people of Israel prayed for the Messiah as well. So that prayer began to be answered, that national prayer in that moment. They were also, as a couple, faithful in following God. In verse 6, we're told that they were righteous in the sight of God, observing all of the Lord's commands and decrees blamelessly. We've already talked in recent weeks about how sickness or disability was often seen as God's judgment on people in New Testament times. And childlessness was the same. It was a source of shame, particularly for the woman, because she was not then fulfilling her purpose within the community as it was seen then. But despite being childless throughout their adult lives, Elizabeth and Zechariah handled this disappointment and shame with dignity. Like Job, we're told. He had other issues, but Job handled his suffering with this dignity. And they lent into their faith rather than rejecting God. And within that, they were faithful in the mystery. Issues like childlessness and other life disappointments. Sometimes people are disappointed by their singleness, by a catastrophic bereavement that happens to them, by chronic illness, by heartbreak of some form. These things can be incredibly hard to bear. As human beings, the emotion of disappointment is really complex and uncomfortable. As parents, we often try and shield our children from it because we know it is so difficult to handle well. And as Christians, these life disappointments can be even more complex. Because if we've persistently prayed for something or perhaps even against something that has happened, on top of the disappointment that we're left with in our humanity, we have perhaps other questions of unanswered prayer, as well as the issue at hand. And this can lead people to doubt and even a dulling of faith or even a loss of faith. And pastorally, over the years, I've seen people often at these crossroads of emotions. And at that point, we always have a choice. We can choose faithfulness or bitterness. And I've observed that those who choose faithfulness are often those who are most like Jesus in our congregations. In contrast, I'm sure we've all met those that have become bitter in life. In Zechariah and Elizabeth, we see an example of a couple who have chosen faithfulness in the mystery of their childlessness. The truth is that they weren't given a child because of their faithfulness. Many, many faithful people, many faithful Christian couples remain childless. But instead, they remain examples of how to cope with the mysteries of loss and disappointment that are part of the human experience. But the other side of it is God's faithfulness to them. We move on to the next slide. In this story, we see the faithfulness of God, firstly to them as individuals. So as I said, I wouldn't say that Zechariah and Elizabeth's faithfulness resulted in God's faithfulness back to them, because it's not transactional like that. Too often in church, we do present things in this way, often leading to even greater disappointment and pain. We say things like, stay pure before marriage and you'll have a good one. Be faithful and diligent in your workplace and you'll be rewarded with promotion. Honor your body by avoiding X, Y, or Z and you will have good health. Such things are in the realm of prosperity gospel and can be really toxic. We should stay pure because the Bible tells us to. We should be faithful and diligent at work because the Bible tells us to. We should honor our body because that's what God asks of us. God does honour those who honour him, but it's relational and mysterious and not transactional. God's grace and purposes are far wider in our lives than treating God as some kind of slot machine or someone who can be bribed or manipulated. In this story, though, God's faithfulness to Zechariah and Elizabeth is a gift of a longed-for child. Their many years of prayers have been answered, and their holding on to the mystery of disappointment has been responded to. We can know through this story that God hears the cries of our hearts as we refuse to let go of his promises and the truth that his character is faithful, is that he is faithful. We also see in this story the faithfulness of God to the people of Israel. The story isn't just about a childless couple. There are several of those in Scripture. Instead, the faithfulness of God in this passage is on a much bigger scale. It's not just Zechariah and Elizabeth, but the whole of the people of Israel that God is being faithful to. After centuries of silence and the Jewish people's faithfulness in response, they continued their temple worship. The priests kept on serving in the temple. They kept Sabbath. They kept other religious practices all throughout these centuries of God's silence. Here we finally see God's response. Gabriel in this story is not announcing the Messiah, but a prophet, the first for generations. And they would prepare the way for the Messiah, getting individuals and through them the nation ready for Jesus' coming. Finally, we see the faithfulness of God to the world. Whilst God's plan to rescue humanity and restore our relationship with God was going to be through the people of Israel, even in the Old Testament, we see that even from the beginning in Genesis 12. It's clear that the blessing of the coming Messiah was not just for the Jews, but for the whole world. We're told in John 3:16 that God so loved the world. And so in this story, we see an example of God's faithfulness, not just to Zechariah and Elizabeth, not just to the nation of Israel, but to the whole world, ourselves included as descendants in faith of this story. So it's all very well learning these things from the stories that we have in Scripture, but what should we do with them? How then should we live? Well, in times where we face doubt or we struggle with the faithfulness of God, we can speak to our souls. God's faithfulness and our belief and experience of it is linked to our willingness and ability to trust God. And that's not an easy thing. And it's really important that we acknowledge that. I find it really encouraging that the psalmists often acknowledge that trusting God is hard. They often call out, you know, why have you forsaken me? Why are you downcast my soul? How long, O Lord? Why, God? They ask all these questions. They call out again and again. But also in psalms like that, we have examples of them speaking to their own souls. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Have faith in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Often, we see that time and time again. These are examples of what to do when life is challenging, when disappointments or delays cause us to our trust in God to dwindle. We don't have to just read a psalm. We can put on a worship track. We can say some form of biblical affirmation. We can remember. We can remind ourselves that we're a child of God. We can remind ourselves that we are loved. We can remind ourselves that God is faithful. We can say those things out loud. Our words have power, even our words to ourselves. And we can speak to our souls. We can be encouraged from Scripture. The Bible is full of stories of God's faithfulness. Noah, Abraham, Joseph, Gideon, David, Moses, Hannah, the list goes on and on. We can encourage ourselves with one of these stories next time we're struggling. We don't always want to, and if you're struggling this morning, I'm sure this is really, really winding you up to tell you to do these things. I was wound up once by my mother-in-law. That won't come as a surprise, I expect, to other people. We were struggling as a couple with our own childlessness before we had our daughter, Bethan. And I remember her going over to her house at one point and her making me a cup of tea. And, you know, she knew that we were struggling as well. And she said, you know, I think you should just read all the stories in the Bible of women that were childless. And I honestly could have done something wrong in that point. But I took lots of deep breaths. And you know what? She was absolutely right. Because I had no idea until that point of how many stories there were. I knew this story, and there are others. I knew the story of Hannah, but there are many others in Scripture as well. God has a particular heart, I think, for women who struggle in that area. It doesn't mean that it's a magic bullet, but it did really encourage me. And I could see in those stories the faithfulness of God, and that helped me to keep trusting for his faithfulness to me. Thirdly, we can listen to other people's stories. We learnt last week that our testimonies help us to overcome, both in the telling of them and in our hearing of them. And as we tell our stories of faithfulness like you did earlier, it can build our faith. We're reminding ourselves again. And it can build the faith of other people. You don't know if your testimony that you share is something that that person is struggling with, because we don't often share such personal things with one another. And if that is the case, then do take the opportunity to pray for one another, to give thanks together to God for his faithfulness, and to pray if people are struggling. Finally, an encouragement to resist bitterness and to stay faithful to God. Satan wants you to give up on Jesus. He wants to feed you lies that God is not faithful and that he's let you down when you're faced with disappointments and difficult circumstances. He wants to, as the popular hymn says, to tempt us to despair. And he wants to tempt us into that bitterness. And it's a battle in our minds, a battle in our hearts to resist it. It's a really hard battle. We shouldn't judge those who perhaps do fall into this. Because each of us in our lives will be faced time and time again with that choice. But we do have weapons in that battle, as I've just outlined. Speaking to our souls, looking into Scripture, hearing other people's stories. And we are called to be faithful and to resist that temptation. And one of the things that I've said we can do is worship when we're feeling that our faith is low, is to declare through song some of the truths about God. So we're going to do that now as we move into the final part of our service. So we're going to sing together, Everyone Needs Compassion.